Well, hey, everybody. I want to welcome you to the table. This is a podcast where we, talk about interesting ideas, interesting people, interesting organizations, unique thought, things that make us think. So welcome to the table. Welcome, Jason Cook, here as well.
How you doing, man? What's up, Pastor? I'm well.
Doing well.
Glad to join you.
Well, I'm glad you're here. We have decided to just talk through Fellowship Associates, and so I've asked you to kind of interview me, ask me questions, so that our audience can better understand the purpose and vision and mission and execution of Fellowship Associates and how Fellowship Memphis is involved with Fellowship Associates and all that good stuff.
Well, it's actually how I first met you.
That's right.
I actually got in contact with you about Fellowship Associates when I was looking to plant a church in Birmingham. And what I knew about Fellowship Associates, I knew a couple of the guys. I kind of knew a little bit about it, but I knew you guys were training church planters.
That's right.
But before we get into the kind of mechanics of the how, just kind of share with us, how did it come about? Mm-hmm. Where did it kind of get started? And when? At what point did you get involved with it?
That's a great question. So this was back in 2002, maybe 2001, where I started thinking about church planting. A mentor had put that on my radar. In fact, one of the guys who was mentoring me at the time was a guy named Robert Lewis in Little Rock, Arkansas. He had been the directional leader of Fellowship Bible Church in Little Rock. They were just coming upon their 25th anniversary and wanted to dive more deeply into church planting with more intentionality and more proactivity. I think he would say their first 25 years, or that team would say, so they planted some churches, helped some church planters, launched, few of their staff had gone to launch churches, but they, just kind of wanted for their 20 years, 25 to 50, Lord willing, to be super intentional. They were doing their research of other church planting mechanisms and organizations and really settled on counsel they got to not make it necessarily geographic. I think up until the point they had felt responsible for planting other churches in Arkansas, but said, you know what, if we can find leaders and train leaders and then send those leaders to wherever it is God's led them to plant a church and build a team, that's what we want to do. And so they learned a lot. I think I was year three, but I was observing it from year one. I think they had two guys year one and then five guys year two, and then I was the third class. And then the fact that I was in Memphis allowed me to kind of stay really connected, because now once I graduated and we were planting Fellowship Memphis, they were like, hey, you're 1 and 2 years in, you'd be invaluable to these guys. And so I'd drive back once a month or so and, again, mentor, coach, share what I was doing, learning, messing up in Memphis and lessons learned and all that. And so so just kind of the 30,000-foot history. So we just kept doing that for the first 10 years. They would recruit at seminaries, the graduating seniors who wanted to plant a church. Those church planters would relocate to Little Rock, which had its own really neat dynamic. Or a guy like me that had been going hard for a decade as a college pastor and then got to move to Little Rock without any daily or weekly pastoral pressure, think about my church plant, recruit a team, raise money. And so be in a community, just be in church. It had its pros, but it also had its cons in that limited the type guy. You had to move twice. If you had kids in elementary school, it was really hard. And you really had to find guys who were going to plant but hadn't yet planted, because it would obviously. So I actually was doing a doctorate at Gordon-Conwell. They let me study the first 10 years of Fellowship Associates, and all of that led us to reshape the next 10 years, whenever it was, or maybe it took us 2 years to rethink it, and then it is what it is today, which is decentralized. It's not necessarily all guys who haven't planted yet, so there's guys that are in that camp but also and on that timeline, but also guys that are 1 year in, 2 year in, 3 years in, so we broaden that. And we've involved other mentor churches, and so all the training doesn't happen in Little Rock, so it's a decentralized mobile learning cohort. They come to Memphis 3 or 4 times, Kansas City 3 or 4 times, Arkansas 3 or 4 times. And so that's a little bit of our history.
Yeah, that's super helpful. Now, if someone's listening to this podcast and they're like, wow, church plant training, that sounds great.
Yeah.
What does that look like?
Yeah.
So once a cohort gets put together, what do you and the other instructors, what are you actually doing with the church planters to train them and teach them how to plant?
Yeah, well, that's a question we're constantly asking is how can we get better and what are we learning after this group of guys? And so first thing I would say, it is a cohort. And so we, by design, are boutique. We're 6 to 8 guys. I don't want to be arrogant about it, but I bet you 40 or 50 or 80 guys would want to be a part of some of that training each year. And so, but we by design find 6 to 8 leaders, a diverse table of leaders who can, first thing, it's peer-to-peer learning. And so I'm convinced if we didn't have a mentor church or a single mentor and we just made 6 to 8 leaders get together for 48 hours, 11 times a year, and talk leadership, shop, church planning, it would be awesome because most leaders don't give themselves that kind of space or prioritize those kind of relationships. And so, man, our guys get super tight because they're all in the bunker together and they're seeing each other and spending time together. And so that peer-to-peer learning is awesome. Mm-hmm. But then there's the mentor-to-peer learning as well. And so we've just learned a few things, not only in our own experience of church planting, but I've had a front row seat to 6 to 8 guys every year planting churches. And we have this alumni base that can our guys can lean into as well. So we've got guys 20 years in, 19 years in, 18 years in, you know, all the way back. And I was just telling the guys, it's like, you need to pick one of our alumni that are planning a similar church to yours or a similar situation. And every one of them would give you a phone call every month and let them walk with you the first 2 or 3 years.
Wow.
And so it's that's the priority, peer-to-peer, mentor-to-peer. What you actually do is we gather 3 o'clock on a Tuesday. Idea is you're traveling that morning. We get a good session in Tuesday, good session in Tuesday night. That might include dinner and hang. Hardcore training all day Wednesday. Usually give Wednesday night off for relational time. And then I just wrapped up today. It's a Thursday, so we got done right around 12:30. So you go, and the idea is you travel back in the afternoon and you're home for dinner or maybe tuck your kids in bed. And so that Tuesday to Thursday window of time happens 11 times between September and March. And so you do that twice in September, twice October, twice November. We take December off, twice January, twice February, once or twice in March. Yeah. So it kind of works like a school year. And that's kind of the rhythm we found is doable. And the guys really do have to, with their core group, with their family, if they got a family or a church already going or a core group, we really help coach them how to make this year doable, getting on a plane twice a month and away from all those people. But we don't want it to feel like it's something you're doing out there away from your family and church. Like, we help them make their church and family a part of this year. And you got to sit in the training yesterday. Like, mm-hmm. those dudes will be better husbands tonight. Mm-hmm. And so I haven't talked to every single wife, but I would bet you every single wife would say, oh my gosh, you transformed my husband, and that year, you know, changed our marriage. And I think every alumni we had, and I have talked to them, would say it was one of the best years of my life. And 100%, I would do it again if I had a chance to do it again.
So I was going to talk about that at the time of this recording. You just wrapped up a session with the current cohort.
That's right.
I was privileged enough to sit in on that session, not really knowing what to expect. Over the last day and a half or so, I've sat in a couple of them. But yesterday in particular, sat in a session where it was clear that the objective of you all as mentors is not just the X's and O's of how to plant a church. You're digging so deep to heart level stuff, to motivation level stuff, digging into the past of some of these men's lives. And you may have said this in jest, but like, I was a better husband last night from having sat in on that session. What do you think separates Fellowship Associates from a lot of other church planning mechanisms? Is it that focus on kind of the heart, the motivation? Is it the history? What is it?
We have definitely trended. If there was a continuum, we've moved from very practical. And if you think about it, like, in 2002, 2003, 2004, there wasn't an Acts 29. Church, this whole renormalization of church planning hadn't taken place. There weren't conferences. There weren't books you could go buy. There weren't a bunch of podcasts by church planters. And so we really did need to talk through how you gather a core group, how you raise money. And we do still talk about some of those things as well. But our progression has been way more deeply toward the soul of a leader, the heart of a leader. We give them the gift of, we're thinking about their next next 40 years. And a lot of times church planters are thinking about launch date. And we just need to do that level of care. And we want to help them. We call it self-awareness, connect with their heart, make sure they can have and maintain healthy relationships, a healthy marriage, be a healthy father, just holistically. We want them to endure for multiple decades. Mm-hmm. And we believe the only way they're going to thrive and endure for multiple decades is to do that kind of heart care, that kind of soul care, get them on a trajectory where relationships are prioritized and mm-hmm. they've got a really keen sense of what we call both their gold and their shadow, mm-hmm. and that they've got a growing awareness of their dark side, and that they've valued relationships. Because, mm-hmm. man, pastoring's hard, work's hard, life's hard, you know, teaching school's hard, whatever you want to do, it's just hard. And to endure for multiple decades, yeah, we've got to set them on a path, or we try to, where they can navigate this world emotionally.
That's good.
And I've learned that, man, that you know, how much pain a leader can endure, how emotionally healthy they are are some of the key factors for multiple decade flourishing.
That's good. Well, one of our current team members is an FA grad.
That's right.
The church I attended in college was pastored by a Fellowship Associates graduate back when he and his family did move.
I remember that.
To Little Rock. Certain different alumni that have come from Fellowship Memphis, from Derek Puckett to I think Stephen Coble may have
been. He's looking at it.
He's looking
at it.
Okay.
Yeah, possibly.
Well, and there's just alumni everywhere, yeah, Eric yeah, Mason, yeah. so on and so forth. Yeah. When you think about those mentors, when you think about the alumni base,
yeah.
Where have you seen those guys as far as success? Where are they at in the life of their church?
Yeah.
Have they responded to the program? Have they thought about the residency?
Yeah, so we just set a framework. So we're not equipped, or we don't pretend to be a network. So I think a network would presuppose kind of ongoing support, training, even accountability, those kind of things. And so we call those our alumni. And so we have almost 100 alumni out there who, just like all of us with our college, like some of us never return to college. Some of us give $100 million on a football stadium named after it, and everything in between, right? And so all of our alumni kind of I just know those guys. I know them all. They're unbelievably fond memories and appreciation for Fellowship Associates. Some of them I hadn't seen in years. Others of them I talk to a lot on the phone or whatever it may be. And I'd say some of our mentors probably have different relationships with different of those alumni. But all that to say, yes, our alumni doing things at such a high level. When you talk about Eric Mason in Philly, like that'd be a great example. So I remember sitting with him and him coming over to Memphis and preaching at Fellowship Memphis, and us the year he did FA, thinking about and planning. He may not have all the language or all the words, but the frequency conference, the things he's about and doing and having his own residency, like we were kind of mind mapping and challenging him to think that way and encouraging that thought in him a decade ago, you know what I'm saying, years ago. And so that's part of our selective process is, man, we're not just looking for church planters, though that's very hard to do. We're not minimizing planting a church. We want, because we have limited spaces, the only way we get to multiplication is if our alumni are the type of planter that also influences and helps other future church planters.
That's good.
And so whether that's helping other planters in the city or having their own residency or having their own Fellowship Associates one day, we think through that grid. And so, yeah, I'm super proud of Eric Mason, Dr. Eric Mason, what Dave Furman's doing in Dubai, what Hunter Beaumont's doing in Denver, what Dottie Lewis is doing in Atlanta, what Kevin Colley's doing in Kansas City, and all, I mean, and then guys, you know, since then, those are some of our earlier alum. Fellowshipassociates.org, you can go see our alumni, and they're just, they are our billboard. Mm-hmm. I mean, because when you look at and see what they're doing, it makes it easy to be interested in Fellowship Associates.
That's good. And so I guess my last question for you would be, you've been a part of Fellowship Associates from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You did your doctoral work mm-hmm. researching Fellowship Associates. You've been a part of it for a long time. Yep. Where would you hope that Fellowship Associates continues to grow? Where would you hope that the organization goes?
Yeah, yeah.
What are kind of your hopes for the next 10 years of mm-hmm. FA?
Yeah, I hope we keep getting better. I hope we keep getting better at developing leaders. I hope we can help continue to encourage and spawn other residency programs. And so we've had a lot to do with residency programs and shared our lessons learned with what Elliot Grudem's doing. So Elliot spent a year with us just studying what we did.
I didn't know that, and then
went on some retreats with us, and he's a personal friend, and his leadership collective is awesome.
Uh-huh.
We've coached and mentored the residency program at the Summit. So with J.D. Greer and Mike McDonald, the same thing. Bill Wellens trained them, and they sat in our sessions, and we share some of our mentors with them, Austin Stone. And so we've partnered with the Village, and so they're in Dallas. And so there's a behind the scenes, or, you know, as we're doing our residency program, we're also wanting to see just because I wish there was a residency spot for every church planter mm-hmm. in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's that valuable and it's that rare to be really coached and mentored and shepherded as you're doing something that's really hard to do, which mm-hmm. is plant a church. And so it's yeah, I would love to just see more and more and more of that. I don't dream differently for FA. I hope we get it. But I don't think it's not like, well, I hope we do 20. We're not going to do 20 guys next year. But maybe we can continue helping other organizations and churches create residencies. And so, you know, one of the truths I hold on to is that leaders aren't mass produced; they're handcrafted. Mm. And FA gives us an opportunity to handcraft. You know what you're doing with our residencies here at Fellowship Memphis. Like it's the dailiness. It's Sergi being in your office an hour ago and just asking you about something, sharing about something you learned yesterday. That crock pot is, in my opinion, the best place for a leader to be developed. And so FA is a crock pot in a sense, and I hope there's a bunch of crock pots where a lot of intentionality is given to leadership development.
That's good. So if somebody's listening to this podcast and they want to be a part of FA, they're interested in checking it out, or even giving and supporting the ministry, would they do that?
Well, that all happens in Little Rock. So Steve Snyder is the president of Fellowship Associates. Fellowship Associates oversees a whole series of manhood curriculum and the residency program. He's full-time staff with Fellowship Associates. Bill Wellens full-time staff with Fellowship Associates. A guy named Rick Caldwell. So there's a team that makes sure the residency program and the manhood materials are. And what's cool, too, is the men's fraternity 33 series help fund the church planting side of that as well. So that's really cool dynamic. There is a Fellowship Associates is a nonprofit. They have their own board. They're raising funds as well as other nonprofits are. And so that all happens in Little Rock, and Steve Snyder definitely oversees that. But I help as a mentor, and I help recruit. And so for me, it was just a chance to systematically make sure, regardless of what happens or how old Fellowship Memphis is, like we're continuing to make sure church planters can come in here and learn from our lessons learned and pouring into them. And so systemically, by God's grace, 6 to 8 guys, you know, every year come learn from our lessons learned and guys like you. And it just kind of keeps us on the front lines of church planting. And I help with the recruiting. So you can go read all about it at Fellowship Associates if you're, to your point, a young guy or a guy looking at FA. And there's an application. So you can just fill that out online. And one of the mentors will read through that and be in touch if they feel like you're a good candidate.
Man, that's great.
Yeah. Hope this was helpful. Fellowshipassociates.org can tell you all this and more. And if you found this helpful, definitely pass it on to folks you might think might be interested in a residency, or if you're an existing church. And Bill Wellens would love to talk to you, and you're curious about a residency program in your own church. Bill does a great job coaching existing churches on that. And so you can find out his email and get in touch with him at fellowshipassociates.org. Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, JB.
Y'all have a good week.